Amen.
So I feel like I may have, I feel like I've done things backwards this morning, or that, or probably rather that I should have done things backwards. I had this thought, and perhaps it was the Holy Spirit, perhaps it was just a thought, but right before we started worship, I was like, why don't you just preach first, Rob, and then do worship after, right? Because as I was practicing the songs, I was like, all of a sudden, songs that we've sang for months in light of what I've been studying this week and where I've been with God this week just took on this whole new dimension. And I'm like, oh God, like I'm experiencing this as I'm up on the platform there playing these songs, like just this new insight into what they would even mean, words that we've sang over and over again. And I'm like, how do I communicate this to the congregation without like preaching all my sermon in the middle of the songs? Do you know what I mean? And then I get up to preach and I'll have nothing left to say. And so what I probably should have done is preached this stuff and then got up and responded in worship. And maybe that's the way the Spirit was leading. But Father, we just pray that by your Spirit you would move even just through these moments, that you would... Oh, Lord God, that you would just take it, Lord God, and just I just have this sense of expectancy, guys, that God would cause just like light bulb moments in your hearts today for you just to realize who you are and realize who he is, and that could bring breakthrough in your life, that you could have all of a sudden a new experience of life, an experience of God. And Father, even as I feel that anticipation in my soul, I believe that it's in line with just, it's just like a reflection of what it is that you want to do, of your posture towards us, of the movement of your Spirit, of the verge of what we could encounter. So I pray that over each of us, that we would just, we'd have ears to hear, we'd have eyes to see, we'd have minds to perceive the things that you prepared for this very day, for these very moments, Lord God, and that we'd step into them wholeheartedly, that your voice would be the loudest voice in this room today, Lord God, and would resonate in our hearts, and it would find fertile soil there, Lord God, to grow and produce fruit. Basically, Lord, would you just take these moments? Would you use them for your glory? Would you say what you want to say in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. So we've been in this series called The Keys to the Kingdom, and it was based basically on just this one like little section, this one verse, Matthew chapter 16, verse 9, which is part of a passage we looked at last week where Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say I am? They respond, like different people say you're different people. He says, who do you say I am? Peter responds, I say that you're the Christ, meaning the Messiah, the coming King, the King that's been promised that's going to come over Israel, where God is going to have his people on earth and God is going to have a representation again, the Messiah. And Jesus is like, Peter, you get it. And then he just unpacks this amazing stuff, and just the implications of these verses are just, they're mind-blowing. But he says this, he starts speaking about this thing, this kingdom that Peter's alluded to. He says, yes, this kingdom is going to be built. And he connects it then, for the first time we see the use of this word church in the Bible. He connects this idea of the kingdom, the promised Messiah, with something that Jesus is calling the church. And he says, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And more than just do that, like I'm going to build this organization, he connects it then with the people he's engaging with. He connects it specifically in this case with Peter, and he says, Peter, I'll tell you this, like on this rock I will build my church. And he says this, connecting the church with the kingdom of God, he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, we looked last week at what it means to be people of authority in God, what it means to be people again, once again, entrusted with this role in creation to extend the kingdom of God. But what I really want to look at this morning is the very last bit of that verse. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus is saying somehow that there's going to be this connection that goes on between what happens in heaven and what happens on earth. And it's going to be connected to the church. It's going to be connected to this kingdom he's building. It's going to be connected to this people he's called out. He's going to give them the keys to this kingdom. Now, somehow, earth and heaven are going to be united in a new way. This is huge, like mad, like metaphysical stuff going on here, yeah? Somehow there's this kingdom of heaven, this idea of the spiritual realm that God inhabits, and then earth, the realm that humanity inhabits and is meant to have dominion over. Jesus is saying they're going to be united, but the point of uniting between them is going to be the church. That whatever the church binds on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever it looses on earth will be loosed in heaven. There's going to be a connection between the physical world and the spiritual world, between the earthly reality and the heavenly reality, and in the middle of it, in the intersection of it, in the tension between heavenly perfection as it exists right now and earthly imperfection as we see and we perceive right now, there's going to be the church who will function in a way to bind or to loosen. That means like to tie up something, to say that this thing can be and this thing can't be. Rabbis at the time, that's what they used to do. It was a phrase Jesus took from them where they would like say, this is the way, these are the things you're allowed to do, the things you're not allowed to do. They had this role in shaping the world around them, of determining what was right and what was wrong. That Jesus is saying to them, I'm giving you that role to bind and to loosen, to bring heaven to bear on earth, to bring heaven's reality into touching point, into impacting earth's reality. And that's a huge, huge topic. Like this week, as I sat down to write a sermon, I was hoping for one that was like last week's sermon. Do you remember? It was like on what's the point of life? Huge, massive questions like that, that we were trying to answer, right? And this week, I was hoping for something like simple, like just practical. Here's an ABC, do this thing and it's happened. But instead, like when you look at the implications of these verses, yeah, there's a practicality of it. They're not down to earth. Like instead, they're like about bringing heaven down to earth. Are you with me? That there's huge implications to it. And we've got to look at this stuff. And we want the Holy Spirit to reveal what it is he's saying. That Jesus would give us the keys of the kingdom. And that's amazing. It's just incredible. Now, to just put something right before we go there, the language would seem to say, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It sounds, at first reading, like Jesus is saying, I'm giving you power to control heaven, to control heaven's agenda, which would make God into some sort of like magical genie that we rub the lamp and he has to do our will, yeah? That's what it sounds like. But if you look at it, I'm not really into doing this. I don't have the education to do it, but I have some software on my computer that helps me understand what the Greek means in the word. And if you translate it down where it says what would be bound in heaven, it says this. It says, ime deo en uranos. So what would be loosed in heaven is ime luo en uranos. And that word ime, like that's there. It doesn't mean that you're going to cause heaven to loose something, or you're going to cause heaven to bind something, or you're going to cause heaven to allow something, or cause heaven to change its mind in some regard. It would be better translated, it's in a tense that's called the future perfect for any Greek scholars, right? And it would be better translated at this, whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. What that shows us is that what Jesus is offering Peter here, and by extension what he's offering us as the church, is insight into what's happening in heaven right now, is insight into the will of God, is insight into God's agenda for your life, for your community, for everything around you. And he's saying that I'm going to show you what's happening so that you function in a role that you get to release that on earth. You get to be a part of that on earth. You get to see what's happening in heaven. You get let in on the heavenly reality right now of what's going on in the heavenly realms. And then you function in a way that you bind and you loosen what you see bound and what you see loosed in heaven. Yeah? He's letting us know that there's a new connection point between heaven and earth, and that the church have a function, a role to play in it. And if you think about it, this is the way Jesus lived. You know, when Jesus says, Jesus said to them one time in John chapter 5, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord but what he sees the Father doing. You familiar with that verse? It's like this idea again of Jesus sees what God is doing, and then Jesus aligns his life with that. He's basically saying to Peter, he's saying to the church, this is the way that you're going to get to live. I'm going to make a connection between heaven and earth through you guys. And you're going to be able to see what heaven is doing and live life in reflection of what heaven is doing. Jesus goes on and says, whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. The Father loves the Son. He shows him all that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will he show him so that you can marvel. That's how Jesus did what Jesus did. He focused on what the Father was doing in heaven, and he lived it out. He brought the kingdom of God from there to here. And the executive summary, one sentence summary of this sermon is that you're made to do the exact same thing. You're commissioned to do the exact same thing in Jesus. That's what I want to unpack this morning. Last week, we looked at big questions like who you are. We looked at what the meaning of life is. And this week, we want to look at another big question that helps us understand how that's even possible. How it's possible that we could act as a connection point between heaven and earth. How we could see what's going on in heaven and release it on earth. How we could be aligned with heaven's reality, with the spiritual realm. And instead of asking who you are this morning, I want to ask you, instead of asking who are you, I want to ask you, where are you this morning? Now that might seem like an altogether easier question. Like, Rob, I'm in Florence Road, I'm in Bray, or you can whip out your phone, you can give me the coordinates on your GPS of where you are. But the Bible complicates things when we talk about where we are, yeah? It says some things about us in here that if we align our lives with mean that we are not where we think we are. When we look at the Bible, we see that there's the Bible says something about our location, about our presence, about where we, the space that we occupy, that would tell you something different than your eyes and your ears and your perception, what you can perceive with your natural mind will tell you. It's something that we need to find out in the Bible because we could never find it out somewhere else. And the language that the Bible uses, and why I pick songs like In Christ Alone that were there, why I pick songs that had lines like My Life is Hid with Christ on High, is that the Bible tells you that right now you are in Christ. Okay, now when we read sometimes in Christ, we read that in the Bible and we think it just means because of Christ. Do you know what I mean? It would say, in Christ you're a new creation. Now we may take that and through our kind of linguistic patterns, we'll say that means because of Jesus we're a new creation. But no, it doesn't mean that. It means in Christ you are a new creation. Somehow you are in Jesus spiritually today. Romans 8:1 says, there's no condemnation for what? For those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit has set you free again in Christ from the law of sin and death. And to get more specific about it, I don't have many slides this morning, so you'll have to look it up in your Bibles or trust me because Malachi isn't here today. But in Ephesians 2, chapter 4 to 6, here's where the Bible gets really specific about where you are today, right? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 6. It says this. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, and our trespasses made us alive together with Christ. Again, speaking about being together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And listen to this, verse 6, Ephesians 2, 6. You've been saved and raised up. He raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God says that he raised you up with Christ and he seated you in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You, right now, not will be, it's in the past tense, God has raised, because it's happened, Jesus has ascended into heaven. God, when Jesus ascended into heaven, somehow God raised you up with Jesus and has seated you right now in the heavenly places. Where are you? Robin in Florence Road. No, yeah, there's a part of you that's there, but right now, you're seated with Christ in the heavenly places. It's like, what? How? I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly places. We've been united with Christ. And here's what the Bible tells us Jesus has done just to impact the world, to change how the world relates to God, even change the distance between the heavens and the earth, that Jesus leaves heaven. He leaves heavenly perfection and he comes into the created order of things. He comes into earth. He becomes fully human. That's what we believe about Jesus, yeah? He was at the same time fully God and fully human. The incarnation, we call it, that Jesus takes on flesh and becomes human. He enters humanity. He comes to earth and he lives while he's here, as we already said, as the connection point between heaven and earth. He responds to what heaven is doing and he lives out that way. He does his Father's will perfectly, reflecting heaven's intention, heaven's authority, heaven's agenda. He comes to do what the Father has told him to do right away, even unto death. And as he does it, he brings the presence of God to earth. He heals the sick. Why? Because there's no sickness in heaven. He brings to bear the heavenly reality in the earthly realm. You with me? It's like wherever Jesus is, what is possible in heaven becomes possible on earth. And we see that expressed when he calms storms and he walks on water and he raises the dead and he heals the sick and he casts out demons and he has authority. And we see heaven's reality coming to bear in earth. All of a sudden, heaven has entered earth. All of a sudden, there's a new way of humanity and of the spiritual realm being connected. And it's happened through Jesus. Now, we believe that, right? And that's probably no new news to you or no new perspective that Jesus came to earth. That's like core tenet of what it means to be a Christian. But the opposite is true. Now, listen to this, right? If when Jesus came to earth, heaven entered earth, right? Heaven entered like humanity and came here. Here's what I want to get the point across to you. When Jesus ascended back up into heaven, Jesus ascends back up to heaven still in his human body. Now, in his resurrected human body. But what happens in the incarnation is the divine comes to earth. What happens in the resurrection and in the ascension is that humanity enters heaven. Jesus bodily is in heaven right now. Humanity has entered into the heavenly realm for the first time ever. Like Jesus in his resurrected body now sits at the right hand of God. There's this passage in Acts that we know that after Jesus was crucified for our sins, after he rose again from the dead, after he appeared to hundreds of people, the last thing he does, he gets sent to his church. He's like, wait, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, right? And you're going to be my witnesses all over the world. And it says the very last thing that they saw happening was Jesus ascended upwards, and it says he was hidden by a cloud. Right? He ascends up into the heaven. His body ascends up. Not just his spirit disconnects and goes away. His body ascends up into heaven and it's hidden by a cloud. What's important to see is that this is humanity entering heaven. And we'll unpack why that means that we can be there. But it's that humanity enters heaven. Jesus, the man, ascended into heaven and humanity is there now. That's where he is now. Now, what happened when he entered? There's this cool thing that the Bible does that Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, like straight after that, just takes on the story of what happened then when the Holy Spirit fell in the church and how they went out and how they did mission and everything. And so we would be left otherwise with just this picture of Jesus going up into a cloud and then Jesus was gone. Like, where is Jesus? How do we know that he's in heaven? How do we know what happened? But luckily, or not luckily, in the providence of God, in the way God worked things out, the prophet Daniel, 600 years before, right, had this vision, right? He had this dream, this vision, and in it he sees all these sorts of kingdoms come to be on the earth. And you can trace the history of the world and see these kingdoms rise and fall in accordance with what Daniel had kind of prophesied and seen. And at the end of his prophecy, he says this. Read it out with me, or you can't read it because it's not on the screens. I'll read it out to you. He says this, right, and it's incredible because this lets us see what happened on the other side of the clouds, even though it was written 600 years before. Jesus ascends up, he disappears from the cloud. Now listen where Daniel picks up the story. He says this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. What's he saying? Into heaven came one like a son of man. Like for the first, imagine Daniel seeing this vision. Into heaven comes a human being. He's talking about Jesus here, right? Came the Son of Man, and he came to the Ancient of Days. I mean, he comes to the Father. He comes to God enthroned on high, and he was presented before him. This is what happened to Jesus on the other side of the clouds. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. That 2,000 years ago, Jesus entered into heaven, and right when he did, God crowned him as king over the entire creation. God crowned Jesus, the human man, divinity and humanity connected. He crowned him as king over the universe in a kingdom that would never end. See, many of us think that Jesus is going to establish his kingdom when he comes back, or Jesus is beginning to establish his kingdom. But no, Jesus right now in heaven is already established and has been given the kingdom. The kingdom has already come. The kingdom is already established in heaven. Jesus already has the authority and the dominion over everything. That's what the Bible tells us has happened to Jesus. That's where he is now. He's Lord over all of creation. That's the current reality. That's not something that we're waiting to happen. Jesus right now is Lord over creation. Not just going to be king when he returns, but Jesus has been made king. Now, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And these are big topics, guys, so please stay with me, right? Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. He's been given all authority. Here's where it gets cool for us. It's already cool. It's already amazing that this Jesus who we love, who we worship, who we serve, who we've come to know is given authority. It already gives us hope. But here's where it gets ludicrously good. It says that as Jesus is seated there in authority, why is he seated, by the way? He's seated because his work is finished. He sat down because he's done what he needs to do. He's been enthroned. It tells us as he's seated there, the verses we looked at, says that we were raised up with him and we've been seated with him in the heavenly places. That we've been so identified with Jesus that the reality is, as much as Jesus is there right now, you are there right now in him. That's not something we wait for, we hope to be accomplished one day. If you put your faith in Jesus, you've been grafted into Jesus, like the way you would graft like a branch into a vine and they become one. Like, you've been grafted into Jesus, meaning that you've been identified with every bit of his death and his life and his resurrection. I could pull out scripture verse after scripture verse that shows how we were buried with him, how we were crucified with him, how we were raised from the dead with him, and how we were ascended with him. That when we were put into him, some connection happens between us and Jesus, so that what happened to him happened to us. And that right now we are seated in the heavenly places with Jesus. In the heavens, something's happened. Something more than God just forgiving you your sins. Something more than just the hope of heaven when you die. Something more than becoming part of a church or a family. Something more than being given a purpose. You were made one with Jesus. One with himself, I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. That's when I'm singing the songs with the revelation of the understanding of that. Is like I've been made one with Jesus right now. I've been put into Christ. That's what the Bible says is our reality. That though you're physically here, spiritually, you are in Christ in the heavenly places. And Christ, while physically there in his body, is in the earth through you by his Spirit. Jesus, physically there, spiritually here. You, physically here, spiritually there. And as much as we are to believe that Jesus is physically there and spiritually here, no problem believing Jesus has been enthroned. No problem Jesus has sent his Holy Spirit that lives in our hearts. Like, that's like kind of basic stuff, yeah? We kind of all agree with that. As much as we believe that Jesus is physically there and spiritually here, we are to believe that while we're physically here, we are spiritually there. That's a reality. We've been seated with Christ. And that takes faith. That takes faith to believe. That's why the gospel needs to be preached, guys. That's why this isn't something you would come up with yourself. Like this isn't something that you could make up. Like a typical approach to like religion is like, live a good enough life and then maybe you'll escape this bad earth and get to go to be in a better place. Yeah? And even like a wrong view of Christianity would say the same thing. Like, live a good life and you go to live in heaven when you die. But this thing is about so much more than that. This is the thing is about saying the truth is that right now you are seated in heaven with Jesus because of what he's done. He's brought us into this eternal covenant with him. We can't be separated from him. Do you get how secure it is? Because Jesus is in heaven and because your life is hid with him, you can't be taken from heaven. There's nothing that can be lost. That's why I think when Paul said, I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons nor powers nor anything in heaven nor anything underneath can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, because Christ has been given all authority, all victory, all power, and he's enthroned on high, and somehow I've been made one with him, that I'm right there with him right now, that one with himself, I cannot die because my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is held with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. He's the risen King. He's the one who holds me there. I can't be taken out of there. Now, if we transition back to what we were talking about, this is why Jesus is able to say, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, because right now you act as citizens of two kind of kingdoms. You act as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, but you live in the kingdoms of the world, that you right now exist in those two realms. Your spirit is held with Christ on high, even though your physical body is here, and Christ's spirit lives in you. That's why Paul was able to say, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's why tons and tons of times in Romans and in Galatians he used this phrase, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. He wants us to get this isn't just about going to be with Christ when we die. This is about being hidden with Christ right now as the current reality. If we could understand that, guys, that it's not about hoping we get something off God. It's not about holding on hope that God will answer our prayers. It's saying that right now you're seated with Christ on high. Right now you're in the presence of God. Right now God indwells you by his Spirit. That's absolutely huge. And he's saying that through this people whose spiritual home is heaven and whose physical home is earth, God wants to extend his reign. He wants to extend the boundaries of his kingdom here on earth. Now, his kingdom already is established. It already is limitless. It already is established in heaven. What he's saying is the role of the church is to take the heavenly reality and live it out on the earthly reality. You with me? It's not about hoping Jesus builds his kingdom. It's about recognizing his kingdom has been established and that we as dual citizens get to represent that kingdom's reign and that kingdom's rule here on earth. One day, guys, every tribe and every tongue will confess and know that Jesus is Lord. Not that he's going to become Lord on that day. He already is Lord. But one day, people will come into revelation and realization of that when heaven comes to earth. But until that day, we get to act as the people who choose to align ourselves with that reality right now. The church, you and I, are given this role of being connection points between heaven and earth. And the thing that happens isn't that, I love even in the ascension, that humanity rises up and enters into heaven. Because very often we preach a gospel that's like put your faith in Jesus and then when you die you go to heaven. It's all about escaping this earth, escaping the trouble. But Jesus initiates a hope for the world. For God so loved the cosmos, he gave his only son. That Jesus reconciles the world to him. And here's the end game of this. Jesus comes here, leaves heaven, comes here. He goes back to heaven, brings us there. The end game of it is that heaven in its totality comes here. Heaven in its totality comes to earth. That there's no longer this disconnection or only slight connection points through the church or through the work of the Spirit between heaven and earth. But ultimately, heaven comes. It says when Jesus returns in Revelation, he comes with the host of heaven. And they come to earth. Heaven comes and it gets set up here on earth. And what are two separate kind of planes right now in the end times become meshed together. And Jesus, the risen King in his body, takes up reign on earth physically as well as spiritually. That the reality that's true in heaven right now becomes the reality experienced on earth in its totality. That perspective shift, guys, that perspective that it's already done. It's already finished. In heaven, it's already done. But that we get to live as representatives of that. We get to live in the reality of that. Step into it. We're not hoping that God will save us. We're not hoping that God will come through. We're not hoping he'll, like, it's done. Jesus has already been given every name. When he sends his disciples out, what does he say? All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples. You can look with your natural eyes and see all these other authorities that are in the world and like, that doesn't belong to Jesus. That doesn't belong to Jesus. But we're meant to be able to look with our spiritual eyes and see Jesus already enthroned in the heavens and know that one day the heavens and the earth come connected when he returns. But in between, we get to live as representatives. In between, we get to live in light of the heavenly reality that exists right now to connect things together. We get to live in light of what's true, currently true in heaven becomes our experienced reality here on earth as with the eyes of faith we see it. Not about escaping, but it's about saying that anything now that's possible in heaven is possible on earth. When Jesus taught us how to pray, we sometimes skip over that line. But what's he say? That's why I sang that song, Our Father, this morning. He says, your kingdom come. This is what we're meant to be praying. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, let's see what's going on in heaven. And let's see it released on earth. Let's see the kingdom come as God's will that's already done in heaven is done on earth. The work is finished. It's about us stepping into it. What does that look like in practical ways? It looks like preaching the gospel. It looks like when we preach the gospel, when we tell people about Jesus, when we share our experience of what Jesus has done for us, of what we know is true about him, we're like heralds proclaiming the coming King. We're proclaiming the Lordship of Jesus. We're proclaiming that there's a day coming where the King returns and we're all going to see that he was truly the King all the time since he'd been enthroned. But we get to live and we get to tell people of that good news. See the stuff that you're aligning your life with. See the things that you're thinking are bringing you power, significance, security, all of that. All of that's going to fade away, and that the true King who's already been enthroned, who came and lived and died on your behalf, who was raised from the dead, who was ascended up into heaven bodily, like when he returns and makes all things new, you can be part of that kingdom. You can be part of that kingdom, in fact, right now by putting your faith in Jesus. And that's our responsibility. It's our purpose, but it's also, guys, our honor and our privilege to be able to be spreaders of the gospel, to in word and deed tell and proclaim the goodness of the King that's coming. And then the other way that we do it is like one through proclaiming, but the other is through just the way we live out our lives. That when Jesus talks to Peter and he speaks about this church he's going to build, but just in the verse before, he says, I'll give you the keys. Whatever you bind will be bound, whatever you loose will be loose. He's basically saying, or the implications of it, one of the implications is this, that when people look at the church, they should be able to see the kingdom of heaven. Like the church should represent what the kingdom of heaven looks like. Now that's a scary thought if we were left to do that in our own capacity. If it was just like we have this book that tells us all these things about heaven and now we need to tick them off one by one and work really hard at making sure that this place looks like that place, that's not what happens. Instead, because we've been seated with Christ on high, all of that becomes possible to us. Because Jesus has won the victory and because we've participated in that victory, all of that becomes possible. That the church becomes like a trailer for the main event that's going to happen. And we don't have to muster up our own strength to live that way. That Jesus lives in and through us. We've been united to him in an incredible way. And here's where the rubber hits the road. Here's what I want you to know. In the heavenly reality, you have already been given everything that you need to live the life that you've been called to lead. Loads of us live as if I just had this, I'd do it. If I just had more understanding, more education, more money, more smarts, more whatever, I could do something different with my life. The Bible tells us that you're seated with Christ on high, who has all authority. In Peter, he says that he's given us everything in him that we need for life and for godliness like that. It's been given to us already. See, here's what I've come to even, I was chatting to Gary this week and I came to realize every breakthrough that's ever happened in my life came with a realization of who God is. And more than who God is, it came with a realization of who God's always been, and I just didn't know it yet. You with me? You're not hoping for God to change. You're not hoping for God to be different. What we need to do is understand who God is. And because of that, who you are, because you're seated with Christ on high. That Jesus is already the answer to everything you need. I've probably told many of you loads of times. I won't tell it again because I don't have time. But the story of when I lost both my parents, like really close to each other. They're only 50 and 51. They died within 16 weeks, both randomly out of nowhere of each other, about 10 years ago. And I lost them and I fell into just this funk of, I don't know who God is. I don't know what this life is about. I don't know what's happening. I don't know why I've lost them. I don't know anything about it. And about a year into that journey, I came to this make or break thing with God. I'm just like, who is he? Who is, and like what? Like the things that I thought he would be, like he just didn't turn out to be. And I went away and God showed himself to not be who I thought he was. He showed himself to be so much more than I could even have imagined he would be. That God showed him to be himself to be. He gave me this revelation of his fatherhood, of his parenthood that surpasses what my parents could ever have been to me. Like knowing God as Father is so much greater than knowing my earthly father or knowing my earthly mother, knowing his provision, knowing who he is. He just deposited this revelation of who he was to me. And it came alongside with this other revelation that my parents had talked about when I was a baby, they dedicated me to the Lord, right? And it wasn't like we had a baby dedication or whatever, it was in their bedroom. But for months and months and months before they did it, my mum in particular like really struggled with dedicating me to the Lord because she felt like she was giving me away. Like it felt like that real a thing that I'm giving my kid away to God to do what he wants to do with him. Like that I'm no longer hers, but that I'll be his. And it was a real thing for her to do. And in that moment, the Lord reminded me of that story that my dad told me, how my ma found it that hard. And he reminded me that he had always been my father. I just didn't know it until that moment. Like he had always been my father. And I only came into the revelation and understanding of it, and it brought me freedom, and it changed my life. When I became a Christian, I didn't just make Jesus my Lord. I recognized that Jesus already is my Lord, and I aligned my life with that. You with me? God is who he is. In fact, the first time when God describes himself to a human, he says this, he says, I am who I am. Like, I don't change. He is who he is. So what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say the thing that you need God to be and you're hoping God would be for you, he already is. He already is good. He already is provider. He already is healer. He already is guider. He already is sanctifier. Like God already is who he is. And you're seated in Christ, meaning you have access to the fullness of who God already is. That the breakthrough doesn't come from you praying and changing God's mind and helping him, making him become something in your life. The breakthrough comes when you realize who it is that God already is. He's revealed himself throughout scripture in all these different names. El Shaddai, he's God Almighty. You need might, you need strength this morning. God is who he is, and you have full access to God this morning. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, you need healing this morning. God is who he is. What he has been, he always will be. I, the Lord, do not change, he says. God can and will heal you. That there's healing in God. There's no sickness in heaven. That we get to bring the heavenly reality to earth. He's Jehovah Ra, like the Lord, my shepherd. You need guidance. If you need a breakthrough in your life, sin that you've been struggling with, he describes himself as Jehovah Makidoshem, which means the Lord who sanctifies you, the Lord who makes you holy. I'm not making myself holy to scrub up for God. Instead, it's God who comes and makes me holy. But I only access that by faith, through believing God is who he is and believing that I have access to that. Because you could say that God is holy and God is almighty, but if God is up there and we're down here, what hope do we have of availing of who God is up there? But if God is up there and we're up there with him seated in Christ at the right hand of him, then we have access to the fullness of who God is. To the fullness of it. And God wants you to know that he has everything for you. He's Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace and wholeness. He's Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Not just that God promises that he will become your provider. God already is your provider. You just don't know it yet. He already is. We just don't know it. This life is about unpacking who he is. Jesus, Yahushua, the God who saves is the meaning of his name. He comes and he gives us salvation. The Bible says when he's incarnated, it says, you'll call him Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. And not just God was with us for 33 years and then disappeared and got the hell out of Dodge and disappeared off up to heaven. But God is with us. How is he with us? Because when he ascended to heaven, he took us up with him. Your life is held with Christ. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Can't be separated. Guys, the implications of that are limitless. Limitless. Take whatever you're facing. Take wherever you are. Take the purpose for your life. Take, like, it's limitless. We need to hear this by faith. This isn't anything you could ever make up. This, like, the gospel is such crazily good news. It's like, man, try to imagine the best thing you could imagine. It's like, so much more. God would do this for you, that you would be seated with him right now. And what I want to do is I'll finish with a song, one of those songs that we sang about heaven coming to earth, about the connection point, about his will being done on earth as it is in heaven, and about our life being hid with Christ on high. And in those moments, I just want to encourage you to ask God to show you that this stuff is real. To ask him to show you that it's true. I mean, I can speak it. I can try and convince you from scripture, but it's the same with every bit of our Christianity. This stuff has always, for the last 2,000 years, this stuff has been in the Bible, guys. Like, are we going to actually believe it? Are we going to be the people who take it and live in light of it? Or are we just going to, like James says, be hearers and not doers of it? Just forget what we look like. Forget that snapshot that you may have got, that glimpse you may have got as we've spoke or as we've worshipped this morning. I've seen that my life is hid with Christ and the potential that's there. And I just pray that as we worship you, in fact, I will pray, Lord, as we worship you, would that revelation explode in our hearts? And would it implicate everything? Would it encompass everything? Every struggle, every decision, every recurrent sin, every stronghold in our lives, would they come under the lordship of Jesus, who already is Lord? Would you show us what it actually means that you already are enthroned, Jesus, that you already have been given all authority and power, and that you give it to us, and that you connect us with you, Lord? Would your spirit move? Take the things that have been said, Lord, the things we've proclaimed, your truth, and you said your word is powerful, it's effective, it's going to accomplish what you want it to accomplish. And I'll pray this morning that it would just find ears, Lord, that are willing to hear, and hearts that are willing to respond in faith, in courageous faith, to say, man, I'll believe that. I'm throwing my life in with the whole of that. I'm like taking my eyes off the other things that I've thought I need for my provision, for my strength, for whatever it is, and I'm just throwing my lot. Like, Jesus, you say I'm seated with you in heavenly realms. I need to know that. I need to see that. I need to experience. I need to live in light of that. I need it. It's only your spirit that can come and make that real. Lord, all the convincing words in the world aren't going to change a thing, Lord, but your spirit changes everything. Absolutely everything, Lord God. And so we just give you the space to do that, Lord. As we worship you, Father, as we sing, would we know even that we don't even worship from earth, sending songs up to heaven, but that we worship from heaven in your presence, Lord. When we pray, we're not just like praying thoughts up to heaven, but we in heaven pray realities onto earth. Lord, would you just help us to just blow our minds with the implications of this thing, Lord, that we're seated with you, Lord, in the heavenly places. Let's worship the Lord just in the time we have left.